Page 31. Interview with Anita Aron by Stephen Mendelson. If you've been around the blindness community for any time at all, you probably met Anita Aron. For 2 decades, she was the executive director of the San Francisco Lighthouse. Before that, she worked in various community-based organizations serving the disabled, including the World Institute on Disability, where she has returned as of February 1 as its executive director. At her inspiring banquet speech during the CCB Spring Convention, she reminded us of what teamwork can accomplish. She has always known that the people know best. Clients, consumers, whatever term you care to use, those who, as she said, walk the walk and talk the talk, are your best resource. Here is her interview. Enjoy. What do I think my major contribution was to the Lighthouse over the 20 years I was there? Two words come to mind, involvement and tone. It was of critical importance to me that blind and visually impaired people be involved in the business of the Lighthouse at all levels and in all aspects of our work, from membership on the board of directors to employees, including the management of the organization, to our advocacy work in the community and the services we provide. I wanted the tone of the organization to be one of equality and openness. The Lighthouse is the place where being blind or visually impaired is the norm, not the exception. And blind people know more about what they need than people who are not blind. Page 32. We addressed both these elements in many ways over 20 years. Beginning in the early 1990s, we made sure the Lighthouse Board was built on 1/3 to 1/2 members with visual impairments, not because the law or our bylaws required it of us or because funding sources granted extra points for token involvement, but because we believed consumer input and knowledge made the Lighthouse a stronger, richer, more relevant organization. We cared about employing individuals with vision loss at all levels and in all programs, and involving consumers of services in how those services would be provided. We believed in working in partnership with the California Council of the Blind and the National Federation of the Blind, and in opening our doors to host chapter meetings and other related activities. I'm proud of how the Lighthouse expanded services to Marin and the North Coast, and of how Enchanted Hills Camp became the spot where many blind people gained their first real work experience as counselors, groundskeepers, and kitchen staff. I'm proud of our work with the community on public transit systems that announce the transit stops, produce schedule and route information in accessible formats, and consider travels with visual impairments in their planning processes. I'm proud of our work with the CCB on accessible pedestrian signal installations, a process that covered the entire 20 years I was with the Lighthouse and continues, and on the bipartisan work to establish a specialized services division within the Department of Rehabilitation, which we hoped would change the face of services to persons who are blind or visually impaired by a government entity. Page 33. I think the biggest change in the level of involvement of the blind community in the Lighthouse and in the change of the tone from that of professional distance to peer involvement and investment over the past 20 years worked for a very simple reason, because I'm one of us. What do I hope to accomplish at WID? Being at WID as executive director in an odd way is like coming home. I worked at WID for a brief 2 years at its inception in 1983-84. I was outstationed at San Francisco's Department of Social Services with the assignment of creating a work environment that incorporated people with disabilities seamlessly into the system. The goal was to create a model that could be duplicated throughout the country. We had some good success. A hiring program was adopted by the then Civil Service Commission that encouraged employment of people with disabilities. Policies based on Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act of 1973 were developed and embraced by the department and many staff previously unwilling to ask for reasonable accommodation or to discuss their hidden disability found their way to my office. The most life-changing event during this time for me was the tragedy of the AIDS epidemic, where many employees of DDS died suddenly and without warning. My diversity training partner left the office on a Friday evening with a slight fever and died on Sunday. There was no treatment and no real understanding of the disease and a mentality, even in San Francisco, of deservedness. Page 34. That experience galvanized my belief that persons with disabilities are often the ones left out or left to last, that we need to be in control of our lives, and that we have the right to inclusion in society at all levels. Now I'm back at WID. I can, after all these years, balance a budget, put a solid fundraising plan in place, and support the staff and board in doing the jobs for the organization they've signed on to do. But I'm really here because, as people with disabilities, we must be vigilant. We must be at the table where policy is made. We must be at the forefront of systems change. WID's agenda of social and economic inclusion will not be met unless we cause it to happen. I'm at WID to shine a light on the tremendous work WID staff has done over the years and to be the catalyst for future policy development, training, and technical assistance. Where do I see myself within the blindness movement and the disability rights movement? For many years, I felt like someone with a foot on either side of a crevice. I began my work in 1980 with the Center for Independent Living in Berkeley, spent 20 years at the Lighthouse, and am now back on the cross-disability side of things. However, somewhere along the way, I realized we really all were part of the same struggle, that even though we have disagreement in very significant areas, we also have reached agreement on many others. Page 35. Sometimes our inability to work together is based on a fear of losing what one of us has to the other, or of fighting over the crumbs thrown out to us rather than coalescing to the benefit of all. I guess I hope I'm a bridge and not a dam, so that I'm facilitating collaboration and not blocking it. What is the Ed Roberts Campus? The Ed Roberts Campus is, for me, the promise of a learning culture for the disability rights movement. The seven agencies that make up the Ed Roberts Campus Partnership offer a wide array of community-based, national and international direct services, education, research, and advocacy programs. All track their roots to UC Berkeley's Cowell Hospital and Disabled Students Program, where in the late 1960s and 1970s, a group of people with significant disabilities, Ed Roberts among them, lived in the on-campus hospital and attended classes at UC. They and other people with disabilities banded together to advocate for services such as personal assistance services, independent living center services, and architectural and transportation barrier removal. Much work has been done, but social and economic barriers still exist between people with disabilities and the rest of society. The role of the Ed Roberts Campus is to keep shining the light on discrimination and inequality and serve as an open door for people with disabilities from around the world. A final thought? Of some things with me you can be sure, the blind perspective is and will be welcome at WID. We've added two directors to our board that are visually impaired and represent blind service organizations. We respect the rights of people with specific disabilities to represent themselves and or to be part of a cross-disability representation or both. And ultimately, it's about being able to live your life on your terms. In that, there is no disagreement.